This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, it's a Friday evening in Tokyo, in case you're wondering. It's a Friday morning in the United States of America. Yeah, baby. Happy Friday to you. Good morning. We always call it a football Friday this time of the year, but it can be a freaky Friday. It can be a fantastic Friday. It can be a free-for-all Friday. It can be a funny Friday. All those things can apply. I hope it's not a funky Friday. Well, it can be a funk Friday. How about that? I couldn't tell you one funk artist, but I can recognize the music. So you know what, Producer Pete? If you want to make it a Friday of funk, or, you know what I mean? I got to be careful what I say here because Producer Pete's going to dump me off my own radio show.
Very careful with that word.
Have you ever been dumped off the radio, Producer Pete, for saying something inappropriate?
Me?
Yeah.
Myself? Well, I don't think I've dumped myself. No. No, I don't think I've had.
Well, one time I've had a producer who had to dump me off my own radio show one time. It was a caller who was particularly annoying, and trust me when I say I have a high tolerance for those things. You all will constantly remind me of that. I do have a relatively high tolerance for annoying callers or callers who don't make sense. My general principle is if you want to make a fool of yourself on national radio, well, that's up to you. And then once I'm done, well, goodbye. But one particular caller who was offensive and annoying and all of those things wrapped into one, and I let a word slip that I normally do not. I'm normally very disciplined. I usually only swear. This is funny. It doesn't apply anymore because I don't talk about ex-boyfriends anymore. Thank the Lord. But I usually would only swear about ex-boyfriends on the golf course or when I'm having road rage. Two of those things still apply. One does not. But that's not here in the studio. I'm much more disciplined than that. But I did allow a word to slip that I would have been fined for. And so I know the producer had to dump it for that reason. Whoops.
We venture down the road what word that was.
Well, it sounded a lot like funk, only with a different letter.
Ooh,
yes.
Okay.
But it was like, it had ING on the end, you know, like it was one of those, why are you so bleeping annoying? No, I don't think I said that to him. I just think I got fired up and he pushed a button with me. So it's my fault. It's my fault. But thankfully we're on a 30-second delay. So what you're hearing right now actually happened 30 seconds ago. It's a bit of a time warp, if you will.
I actually had a host and it was Maggie. Maggie Gray.
I love how you outed Maggie. She's not here to defend herself.
She outed herself, but she did it. She asked if this word can
said it on the air.
And she said it on the air. And I said no.
I don't know if you were here. So you and I are both original employees of this network. So we were here day one, January 1st, 2013. I don't know if you remember. There were FCC regulations that were changing. And so we had this one. Now, I think there were two different sessions of it with an attorney, right? Remember, we had an attorney in-house. This is back when we were CBS Sports Radio.
Yes.
Actually, it's back when we were CBS. We're not CBS anymore.
And I think that attorney's not even here anymore.
Well, I can imagine there's probably a lot of that going around. It's been 13 years or 12 years. And so I remember that we all had to sit in this room. And she was talking about what we can and cannot do and can and cannot say on the radio. And with a straight face, no humor, no warning whatsoever, she rattles off the seven words that we cannot say, some of which are extremely offensive to women, right? And so she just rattles them off and doesn't ever, like, no reaction, straight face. And around the room, it's dead silent except for a couple of people who are like, Like it was so jarring because she didn't warn us. She just said, these are the seven words you cannot say. And she rattled right through them.
I was going to ask her to repeat it just so I could write it down.
Okay, that's not funny. Again, they were, I mean, these are words that are offensive, right? And she just, there you go. Man, just let's get it out of the way. And I was in a room, I'm pretty sure there were no other females except for her. It was me and it was her. And then the rest were dudes. And so she shocked everyone. There was this awkward silence, one or two people kind of making a reaction, but that
you
was
said that.
Yeah, that was pretty much it. Or just it, again, it was so shocking because you wouldn't expect this woman who's dressed in a suit to just rattle off the words. These are the words you cannot say. And so I think, I don't know if we were in the same meeting or not, but
I don't think we were. I was in the meeting with Scott Farrell, so.
Oh.
Yeah.
Actually, I think I was in the same one with him, and he twittered a little bit, like kind of laughed. Yeah. He's the one that had the reaction. Oh, I miss Scott. I miss Scott so much. He's doing great, though. He's had a health scare, and he's back to full health. And for those of you who miss Scott, we're in the same boat. So good morning to you. We're not going to say any of those words, nor are we going to tell you which words we cannot say so that you know we cannot say them. Nope. We are a family program here, a family show. Good morning to you. Happy Friday. I hope you have some great plans for the weekend. I hope they include World Series if you're a fan of baseball, or they include football, both college and pro. I have, this is super fun, almost no plans this weekend, and I'm so excited about it because my husband's going to be gone. He and my brother are going camping. What are the chances that there are stories told about me that I would prefer not be retold to
100%.
My husband? Great. All right. Looking forward to that. I don't know if he'll tell me or not, but yeah, that's on the horizon for my fam. I'm staying home and I'm going to be okay with it. A little bit of sports. I'm going to binge watch a couple of shows. I plan to do some cooking. I've got a couple of phone calls lined up. And yeah, that's pretty much it. I'm going to be a whole couch potato, except for I've got some household chores to do. But oh, and I'm on dog duty. Yep. I get the little rascal. She is a little rascal for sure.
But good quality time.
With my dog. Well, with our dog now. She is going to wonder where her dad is. That's what she's going to do. She might sit at the door the entire weekend and wonder where he went until I give her treats. And then, of course, all bets are off. So she's a mini Aussie, but she's a runt. So she's smaller even than what she's supposed to be. But her newfound love is hiking. We've taken her hiking two of the last three weekends, and she enjoys that. So those are my plans. Nothing exciting. Little cooking, little baking, preparing for Halloween by doing some baking, vegging, catching up on some shows that my husband's not interested in, and essentially dominating the living room. I'm dominating the living room chair and the remote. That's what's happening.
The Archie Bunker approach.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. I might spend all weekend in my sweatpants, except for church. I don't go to church in sweatpants. So that's my plan. Just until football starts, let's go. Let's be a couch potato. Maybe I'll exercise once. I hope that you have a good weekend as well. I'd be glad to share some of my baked goods with you if you live nearby and we were neighbors, because I'm certain that you wouldn't be as awful a neighbor as the ones we have living next door to us right now. We won't go down that rabbit hole again. Lots of football this weekend, but it started with the Rams and the Vikings. So short work week for Minnesota, who's coming off that loss to Detroit. Obviously, the Rams are trying to get back on track. Well, you know what? This is not rocket science. They don't pay me the big bucks. But if they did, they would pay me the big bucks to talk about football. And I would offer you this extremely complicated, detailed analysis of why the Rams offense looked a heck of a lot better on Thursday night. Because football's a lot easier when you have your top two receivers back on the field. Matthew Stafford's numbers look better. He looks better. The offense looks better. It scores more points. It's really not rocket science when you've got Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua back on the field. So yeah, this is a good back and forth in the first half. The Vikings were also taking advantage of their opportunities in the red zone, and Sam Darnold and Matthew Stafford each have a pair of touchdown passes, but none more dazzling than Stafford connecting with his former MVP receiver.
Kyren still the back. He's offset right to that side. A trips bunch, including Nacua and Kupp. Here comes Kupp in motion to balance it out 2x2. Stafford has a snap. Four-man rush. Pressure in his face. Goes out the left side. Ducks the rush. Flips to the end zone. Caught! Caught! Cooper Kupp from Matthew Stafford! A primetime edition of 9 and Dime! the ever-elusive Matthew Stafford, ducking the rush of the Vikings and finding his favorite targets. Welcome back, Cooper Kupp. Touchdown, L.A.
Obviously, it's been frustrating last few years, just going through stuff that's kind of outside your control. And unfortunately, I've had a lot of practice at this, which is just frustrating. But, man, it's so good being back out here playing this game again. And I just love these guys. Coming into work each day has been a joy, even in these times where I'm not feeling like I'm able to contribute like I was able to a little bit today. But, man, it feels so good to be able to come back out here, do what you love, be with these guys.
Cooper Kupp, welcome back. And it was pretty sweet to see his 36-year-old quarterback spin and dodge and duck away from charging defenders and able to fire a bullet into the back of the end zone where Cooper was waiting. And yeah, it's a lot easier when you've got receivers who know you, who are veterans. Puka Nacua had a tremendous rookie season, but hadn't played so far this year. The two of them combined for a dozen catches and over 150 yards receiving, plus that score. J.B. Long on Rams radio. Now, in the second half, it was more about DeMarcus Robinson and longer extended offensive drive, so not nearly as many possessions for the two teams in the second half. Stafford ends up with a pair of touchdown passes to DeMarcus Robinson in the third and the fourth quarter. And this is actually after an interception. He airmails a receiver, or airmails a ball over a receiver's head early in the second half. So he has to deal with an interception and a change of possession. But then when the Rams got into the red zone, they took advantage of their opportunities. And really, that's the difference between the Rams and the Vikings in the second half. The Vikings twice got into the red zone, and there was one particular catch, if you haven't seen it, awesome. Justin Jefferson hauls in a ball one-handed that he's juggling as he's kind of high-stepping it down the sidelines, trying not to go out of bounds, trying to secure the ball and make sure he's got it and he's not juggling it anymore as he's fighting off a defender. So it's a pretty dramatic catch. Instant red zone. I think it took him down to the 4-yard line, and then nothing after that. 7 snaps inside the red zone in the second half for the Vikings, and they come away only with a pair of field goals. So yeah, when you leave your opportunities out there and your points out in the field and your opponents are doing the opposite, well, it makes it a little less palatable. I know Vikings fans would like to say some, maybe the sky is falling. They've dropped 2 in a row. But really, this game kind of hangs on that. The other thing that stood out about this game is that the Vikings didn't get a lot of pressure on Matthew Stafford. So they did not sack him at all. He only had 2 official pressures against him. And Kevin O'Connell was asked about not getting more hands in Stafford's face.
I don't know as of right now. Sometimes, you know, we're, like I said, short weeks got nothing to do with it. You know, whatever the whatever the reasoning is, we'll take a good hard look at this tape and use this mini bye, you know, over the weekend to make sure we're ready to allow these guys to, you know, a refresh, recharge, and that goes for us as coaches as well as in regards to our schemes, making sure that we can get the momentum back.
It certainly helps when you've got a veteran quarterback who's got 2 targets, not just 2 targets, his top 2 receivers on the field. You can get that ball out quickly, or the run game was terrific. They had a great balance. Ron Rivera, our friend Ron Rivera, he was on the call with Ryan Radke on Westwood One, and that's one of the things that he highlighted about the Rams offense is that with the receivers, along with Tutu Atwell, and of course DeMarcus Robinson, who ends up with a couple of touchdowns, I think Stafford coming into this game only had 3 touchdowns to wide receivers. That was it. Maybe only 3 passing touchdowns total. And so here he is with 4 last night, and he's doubled his number. But yeah, you take away his top 2 receivers and everything becomes a lot more challenging. It's easier for the defense to clamp down on the run game and try to limit Kyren Williams. So he was over 100 yards from scrimmage, and the offense just had a lot more fluidity to it. They're 3 for 3 in the red zone, whereas that's one big area in which the Vikings struggled. I don't think the sky is falling for the Vikings. It's not that. But losing 2 games in a row, I can understand why people would think the shine has come off. Now, here's the thing. Don't fall for that. it's too early to say the Vikings are dead or they're DOA or their fun little run at the beginning of the season is over. So don't fall for that. And also, don't fall for the idea that the missed face mask penalty is the reason why the Vikings lost. That's not doing credit to the Rams, number one. Number two, it's just not true. They were trailing 28-20. Vikings get the ball back with a minute 46 to go. And yes, it was absolutely an egregious miss by the officials.
Second and 10 from the 5. Darnold back to pass. Four-man rush. Sam looking to throw from the end zone. It's a safety and the game is over. Byron Young threw down Sam Darnold in the end zone. And it's a safety. There are no flags on the play. The Rams have taken a 30-20 lead.
I think Darnold was yanked down by his face mask. And
I don't see a flag.
I know, and I don't think you're going to get it. That's not a play that you can review. But watch as he comes around, and he totally gets pulled down.
Yeah, look at Darnold, outstretched arms.
Wow,
screaming at Trey Blake. Byron, so was Kevin O'Connell.
Byron Young just. Oh, absolutely, that was a face mask.
Oh, wow.
But they don't call it.
This is the maddest I've ever seen Kevin O'Connell on a sideline while coach of the Minnesota Vikings.
Well, I mean, you know, you put yourself in that position. The team's done that all night. And, you know, when you put it on that and the referees miss a call like that, it's devastating. Yeah, it's terrible that they missed that call. It should have been an automatic first down. You have a minute 36 to go. You know, you have some momentum, some opportunity, but wow.
Ben Lieber and Paul Allen on Vikings Radio. I do appreciate that Ben, who's an NFL vet himself, says you put yourself in this position because of what happened earlier in the game. Yeah, it was a bad missed call. Everyone on the planet could see it. There's a bazillion camera angles. Don't ask me why it's not reviewable. I don't know, but it's not. Byron Young grabs the face mask of Darnold, jerks his head around, and then, because Byron is pretty sure he's about to get flagged, he throws both of his hands to his helmet as in, no! But the referee, the head referee, he's blocked by another defender kind of flying in between him and the play. And if you look from his perspective, it is hard to see. The whole point, though, of having 17 people on your officiating crew is that there's supposed to be someone else who can see what you miss. Obviously, there are bodies in between you and plays sometimes. So the umpire then is supposed to be, I guess, the safety net in this particular case, the backup. And I guess, according to the referee, Trey Blake, who was speaking to a pool reporter after, his vision was blocked as well. Well, that's not acceptable. Again, we've got 13,000 cameras. This is the NFL. There's nothing that you can do in that entire stadium that isn't on camera or isn't on video. So I don't know why this one wouldn't be reviewable. It's not a judgment call. I don't agree that judgment calls should be reviewable like pass interference. But this one, it's pretty cut and dried. So was it a huge miss? Absolutely. Did it determine the game? Come on. You guys can't be that myopic. I hate it when a good game gets marred by something like this. That's not why the Vikings lost the game. The game didn't come down to that. And I almost feel like if you assume, this is what happens, Pete. When there's a bad call, people just assume, oh, the Vikings would have gone all the way down the field, scored, and converted the 2-point in the final 90 seconds. Based on what they'd done earlier in the second half, I think that's kind of a leap myself. But what it does is rob them of a last chance. We do see things like this happen. So the fact that there was a safety and now it's a 2-score game, well, then you don't have the opportunity. But to assume they would have won somehow because that face mask call, I think, is a little over the top.
Yeah, and Vikings had no timeouts.
Right. So they're having to play straight through. They're playing on a rolling clock, essentially, unless they can get out of bounds. And, yeah, they're not able to get into the end zone already in this second half. So I don't love it because it's just a bad, like a black mark. It stinks. It doesn't pass the smell test, Producer Pete.
No.
Do you smell what I'm stepping in?
Uh-huh. It gives them, it actually, if they don't, it can give them an excuse to look past two straight losses.
True, but what we heard from the locker room after is that's absolutely not why they lost.
It is what it is. I thought we could have done a lot to not put ourselves in the situation that we were in, the penalty before that. We just got to continue to play better and not put ourselves in that situation to begin with.
Well, it looked like you got a pretty good amount of face mask there. The call or no call and all that stuff. I told our team, officiating and all that stuff, like, for us to talk about that, for us to seek comfort in that is not how we're going to respond to this. It's just not going to happen. And I'm going to do the same thing right now. I really don't have a comment on whether it was it looked like you got a piece of the face mask, but they didn't think so. So they didn't throw the flag.
Hey, he did. He definitely did get a piece of the face mask, but I appreciate that Kevin O'Connell's going to say that. Also, no team in the history of football has ever sought comfort or found comfort, I guess, more appropriately, in a missed call. That does not give you comfort. No, it just makes it worse. So I don't think there's any comfort in it anyway. What is the after hours game of the week? We've got the poll up. Don't just vote for what you think everyone else is doing. Don't be a follower. Don't be a sheep. You make up your own mind. At A-Law Radio and then our Facebook page as well. Glad to have you with us on this Friday morning. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Dodgers. Left off of Lively, keeps the dribble at the left elbow. Back out, Clay. Puts it on the floor for a 10 a.m. three. You cannot give him 15 feet of space. That's embarrassing.
15, he had 20. He had time to dribble, take a breath, have a cup of coffee.
19 for Clay Thompson in his Mavericks debut, and the Mavericks matched their biggest lead at 97-83 in the midst of a 10-3 run.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I'm going to need a minute to get used to Klay Thompson in a Mavericks uniform. It's jarring to me. And I know he wore it during preseason, but it's just weird. Headband. He's got the same shot. He's got the same gait. It looks like Klay Thompson, and yet it doesn't.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Look, like Klay Thompson. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I'm not sure what's weirder, for me anyway, just based on the last 12 years of covering these two teams and, well, covering the Golden State Warriors, with whom Clay won the four titles, but then covering the odyssey of Kyrie Irving. And, of course, when he was with the Cavaliers, they were competing in those four, well, he wasn't with them the whole time, but the four straight championship final rounds. That sounded awkward. The four straight finals is what I should have said between the Cavaliers and the Warriors. And you remember Kyrie Irving made the game winning, the championship winning shot game seven, the year that they came back from that big deficit in the finals. So I'm not sure what's odder, seeing Klay Thompson in a Mavericks uniform or seeing him share a backcourt with Kyrie Irving. But I know it's the NBA and this is just how it goes. It's the NBA where everyone plays with his BFF. So now you just got to get used to it. And I'm sure now they're buds. But it was really cool to see Luka find him early. And it's clear that Doncic already has the confidence in Klay Thompson. And mostly what I want is for him to be happy because he loves basketball. And if he gets to play now and he feels comfortable and he feels wanted and all that jazz, well, yay for Klay.
Well, the feelings were a lot of nerves, anxiousness, but after a few minutes and you see one go through, you feel great. And great debut. It's only one game in October, but it feels good just to get the first one out the way. And setting a record is always a great feeling and something I'll never take for granted.
22 points in 26 minutes. He was 6 of 10 from beyond the arc, which actually sets a record. I mean, who keeps track of these things? Not us, but someone kept track of it, and that's more threes than any other Maverick has made in his debut with the franchise. And then handful of rebounds, three steals. I don't normally root for teams. I root for players more than teams. And he's a good story. I was brokenhearted for him when he had to miss those 2.5 years with the devastating leg injuries. Huge Klay Thompson fan on this show. So I guess that means I'll be rooting for the Mavs this season to get back to the NBA Finals so Klay has another opportunity. But don't take it personally, fans of any other team. It's really more about Klay because I'm not a Kyrie Irving fan, so that's weird.
I don't know. I mean, I'm with you on Kyrie Irving. But,
it's just odd to see him in the same backcourt, is it not?
yes, but you know, knowing Kyrie Irving, he's going to be in, you know, playing a lot of backcourts by the time his career is over, the way he wears out his welcome.
In and out.
In and out.
Yeah, well, he may need some time away. Never know what happens. Sometimes the man just needs a mental health break, and so he's gone.
So do the fans from him.
Yeah. He's an acquired taste, but it seems like he's found a home in Dallas. I will say that. Luka's fine with him. Klay's pretty chill. I mean, that's his personality. If he can deal with Draymond Green, if he can deal with... And Steph is not a diva, but the circus around Steph and what everything that happened with Kevin Durant. I mean, he's dealt with a lot in his career. So if this is the downside or the end of his career, which likely puts him in the Hall of Fame, then great. I mean, he was a splash brother for a long time. Now he just gets to shoot and be not the focus of attention there in an offense that revolves around Luka and then Kyrie. So I'm going to need a minute, but I know this is the way of the NBA and really the way of professional sports. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You can find us at Amy After Hours or on our Facebook page and vote for the After Hours game of the week. We've got World Series, of course, that starts tonight. It's kind of, I'll admit it, it's kind of a nice change to not be working after the first two games of a World Series or any kind of a championship, just because normally I can't watch the games as a fan. Pete and I were talking about this, and I said to him, will you watch the game tonight? And always the challenge on Fridays is how long do we stay awake, right? but if we can watch, if we're watching the game, we get to watch it as a fan, which is kind of fun. Not to have to take notes, and this is applying to me, I can't speak for Pete, but not thinking about storylines, not thinking about stats, instead just, hey, feet up, watching the game, and wearing sweatpants. Eek!
Well, it's also, in my case, watching the World Series without a rooting interest.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a rooting interest in a team this whole playoff run. So
it's a little different.
It's a little different.
Now, are you going to root? Who would you prefer? Not that you're rooting, but who would you prefer?
Umpires. I want the umpires to win.
You want the umpires
no,
to win?
No, okay. No. I think it's a tough one. I can't root for anyone.
Yankees haven't won in 15 years. Where is the Brian Cashman, by the way? I need to hear the Brian Cashman. This is terrific. Okay. So the Yankees haven't been there in 15 years. The Dodgers, they've got the 2020 title, but they haven't played one at home, of course. Haven't won one at home, I should say. And they haven't had a full season title since 88.
Which one do I pick? I would go with...
But they beat your Mets.
Yeah.
And the Yankees, then, if they win, everybody will be talking about them for months, and you'll have to deal with that.
But I was saying to somebody, in the Mets' case, they should need the Yankees to win because it might help the Soto recruitment. Because, hey, you want a championship? I can bounce now. So I'm going to say...
Oh, see, I would think it would be the opposite. I want a championship with the Yankees. I want to run it back.
No, but I think it'll increase his value. And then he'll go back out there and demand more money, which I think the Yankees might walk away from.
I shouldn't be surprised by this, but of course people were asking Aaron Boone about Juan Soto's free agency after this series is done, even as they're at World Series Media Day. Stop it!
Obviously, he's been a central figure for us all year. Hit an amazing home run that helped us clinch a ticket to the World Series. The biggest thing, just getting to be around Juan this year, is he's proven to be an amazing teammate, great person to get to know, and obviously a great player. And I don't think he or any of us are thinking about that right now.
Of course,
getting ready for Game 1 of the World Series, and that's about as far forward as we're looking ahead right now.
Duh. Duh. Now, you can ask about Juan Soto, of course, and that's terrific because he's been a major piece, as he says. Career high in home runs this year, all that jazz. But to ask about his free agency, that is just, no, it's just, ugh. But I suppose if that's what you believe, you have to ask to do your job. Now, this is kind of funny to me, actually. So, Brian Cashman, what's the outlet?
This is MLB Network.
Okay, MLB Network. Brian Cashman, longtime GM of the Yankees, was asked about this 15-year gap since the Yankees last made the World Series. And he was clearly still carrying a chip on his shoulder over what happened a few years ago when the Yankees were denied another spot in the World Series. They think this is their story and they're sticking to it. They didn't make it to the World Series because there was a cheater in their way.
It means a lot. And I hate the 15-year thing because it completely forgets and discounts that some other organization cheated us when we were all the way in the end. You know, if you knew what was going on, I don't think they would be advancing at that during that time thing. I think we would have been advancing. So I hate that 15-year thing because I don't think it accurately reflects history.
Well, it's like saying that the missed face mask at the end of the Rams-Vikings game would have changed everything. You can't go back and rewrite history. I get that the Astros were banging on trash cans and were communicating pitches and all that jazz. So maybe they had an edge, although they would tell you they didn't do it in the playoffs. But whatever, I don't believe it. I'm sure that that was giving them an edge. But the Yankees' issue for years now has been their inability to produce offensively in the playoffs. And so I don't know how that resonates, but come on, you can't assume. Maybe it makes you feel better, Brian Cashman, if you assume that you would have been there if the Astros hadn't have been banging on trash cans.
You see, I'd be still annoyed if I was Brian Cashman, but at the fact that I did not adjust as an organization and change my signs. You had to have known.
As in you should have known.
You should have known. We have 1,500 analytics people in each organization. I mean, someone can look out at the field and see if there's any cameras around or any signals happening or any communication happening.
Actually, forget if you even know someone is banging on trash cans. The fact is, a quality organization who's got quality leadership and coaches, they should be doing that anyway. We did that when I played high school and college softball. Like you always change your signs because you know other teams are paying attention to
them. NFL, Audible. Yeah. Audible is probably one of the biggest things you could do.
Banging on the trash can.
Yep. You have to be able to adjust. And I think baseball teams are starting. This is a good reminder for baseball teams to do that along the way. But you always change your signs. Always have a backup sign.
But to assume that you would have made the World Series,
that's ridiculous.
That's a little bit over the top.
You don't know that. You don't know how it's going to play out.
But it doesn't matter because that's what Ryan Cashman tells himself so that he can sleep more peacefully at night. So
Well, he should be sleeping more peacefully at night. He's had the benefit of the doubt many times when he could have been blown out of here.
Listen to producer Pete talking.
I'm just saying, look, you could go talk to people in New York. Cashman gets the benefit of those early championships, which were really Bob Watson's teams.
I have no issue with owners staying patient and front offices not firing people left and right.
I'm not going to take any credit away from him, but last few years he's had the benefit of the doubt. Now this is his chance to disprove that.
Brian Cashman made sure Aaron Judge stayed in New York. For that, he deserves a pat on the back. Not to mention, they're back in a World Series. What about Juan Soto? I mean, if he does that too, I think he's earned the right to walk away when he's ready. But that's just me. I'm not a fan of firing people left and right. At ALO Radio. Well, I don't even know what that sounded like. At ALAW Radio and also on our Facebook page, you can vote for the After Hours Game of the Week. We're off and running week 8. Let's go. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
All right, Amo, the Vikings looking to rebound off their first loss of the season while the Rams trying to inch a little closer to 500.
Jalen McCullough clinched Sunday's win with an interception against the Raiders. Can the Rams get a takeaway here? Play clock getting short. Darnold back to his end zone. Sets the laces. Hitches. Hit. Sacked! Game over! Game over! over! Byron Young with a safety! Agent Zero calls game on Thursday Night Football!
Sam Darnold ripped down by his face mask, but the officials didn't see it, so Byron Young puts the game on ice with the sack. Rams outscored the Vikings 30-20. Call courtesy of the Rams Radio Network. Matthew Stafford threw for 279, four touchdowns. Puka Nacua, back after missing five games, had seven catches for 106 yards. Cooper Kupp, five catches, 51 yards and a score. L.A. with back-to-back wins after that 1-4 start.
I believe in this group, Sam. I believe in the coaches. I believe in the players. I saw a resolve. I didn't see a flinch. And we still have a long way to go. You know, we've won two games in 5 days, but it's just two games. And we've done a good job of getting ourselves back to where we wanted to be.
That's head coach Sean McVay. Sam Darnold threw a couple of touchdown passes, but Minnesota has lost back-to-back games. They're now 5-2. NBA, Klay Thompson with a nice first impression in Dallas.
Doncic left off of Lively, keeps the dribble at the left elbow. Back out, Klay puts it on the floor for a 10 a.m. three. You cannot give him 15 feet of space. That's embarrassing.
15, he had 20.
Klay finished with 22. Luka Doncic, 28 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists. Mavericks disposed of the Spurs, 120-109. Call courtesy of the Mavericks Radio Network. Elsewhere, the T-Wolves upend the Kings, 117-115. Julius Randle poured in 33. Celtics roll the Wizards, 122-102. Jaylen Brown, 27. Jason Tatum, 25. And the Thunder overpowered the Nuggets, 102-87. As Chet Holmgren had 25 points, 14 rebounds, and 4 blocks. College football, Pitt rocks Syracuse 41-13, returning three interceptions for scores as they picked up Kyle McCord five times in all, and Old Dominion routed Georgia Southern 47-19. I'm Marco Belletti.
The Infinity Sports Network is on your smart speaker. All you have to say is, play Infinity Sports Network. That's it. Play Infinity Sports Network.
One back, one tight end, Colby Parkinson on the field. Rams set up 2x2. Kupp and Nacua split out left for Stafford. Play clock at 7. An adjustment at the line. He's back in position, ready for a shotgun snap with 3. Here it is. Vikings bring 3. Stafford well protected. He drills one right side end zone. Caught! DeMarcus Robinson with his second of the half. He flings it into the stands. And John Matthew Stafford has 4 tonight. The Rams extend their lead to 27-20 with the try pending. Matthew can't miss.
I believe in this group. I believe in the coaches. I believe in the players. I saw a resolve. I didn't see a flinch. And we still have a long way to go. You know, we've won two games in 5 days, but it's just two games. And we've done a good job of getting ourselves back to where we wanted to be.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
A lot of enthusiasm from the Los Angeles Rams. Back-to-back wins, as you hear from Sean McVay. Matthew Stafford with 4 touchdown passes last night, more than he'd had to his receivers in the previous 6 games. And they are now 3-4. Like most of the NFC West, it's kind of interesting. The Seahawks are at 4-3, and they are hosting the Bills in a battle of first-place teams coming up on Sunday. Is that the after-hours game of the week, or are you going elsewhere? So you can find that poll on either of our social media sites, at Amy After Hours or our Facebook page. Do not miss the last 30 seconds of this hour when I tell you about a new food item that Dodger Stadium has put on the menu for the World Series, Pete. I would challenge you to eat this, but we're going to wait. I would eat this in a heartbeat. This is like fair food.
I'm going to guess it's not a salad.
Well, they've got some, I think it looks like sushi. I'm not a sushi connoisseur. So there's something called the chicken Karaji bowl. I'm spelling it for you. You can tell me if you've ever heard of this word before. K-A-R-A-A-G-E. It's got to be sushi.
I have not heard of that.
It's got to be something sushi. There's also chili oil dumplings, which look delicious, but it's not the menu item that I would choose. But that's the tease to wait till the top of the hour. All right. J.B. Long with the call on Rams Radio. Yeah, one of the big games this weekend, of course, is Niners and Cowboys, both in desperate need of a win, kind of like the Rams. It's weird to see the Niners at the bottom of the NFC West, though they're right now at 3-4. like the Cardinals and Rams, they're actually listed at the bottom. Nick Bosa looking ahead to that Dallas Cowboys game.
Two teams that need to right the ship and get on a better trajectory for them. They're coming off the bye. We're heading into it after this. So they want to get going and start the second half of their season the right way, and we want to go into the bye feeling good about where we're at. So it's going to be a tough one, I'm sure. They're going to throw everything they can at us. I think they're going to try and run the ball more than they have.
They need to.
Because, I mean, when you've had the losses they've had, they're obviously going to try and do something a little different. But, yeah, it's going to be a big game.
This right now is your front runner for game of the week, but don't have to vote the same way that everyone else does. There could be some other games out there like Commanders and Bears. This one is one I'm looking forward to. And even though we don't know about Jaden Daniels yet, this is obviously a game between two teams that would like to get into the elite of the NFL. Matt Eberflus, he was allowed to stick around, right? Remember, they didn't let him go. They kept him on the roster. He's now got Caleb Williams, that great, well, lots of weapons around Caleb. The great defense, the special teams. They're above 500. This is a good gauge for them.
It's a similar offense when you watch the offenses. Of course, you know, the different types of players, you know, in terms of who they are quarterback-wise. But, again, our plan will be our plan, and we'll adjust. We'll have a contingency plans for that, for who's in there. But we're going to stick with what we're doing.
Yeah, so the thing is, they don't know, at least at this point, whether or not it'll be Jaden or will it be Marcus Mariota? And I know it was against the Panthers and their defense, but Marcus stepped in and led the offense. And really, they didn't miss much of a beat. So then looking at it from the other perspective, of course, you've got the defense for the Commanders having to try to contain Caleb.
He's a dynamic quarterback, a guy that has a very strong arm, guy that likes to get out and move around in the pocket and stuff like that, and he becomes really dangerous when he can do those type of things, for sure.
Dante Fowler, linebacker for the Commanders. This, seriously, a lot of fun. This is the game that I voted for, I picked, not because I don't care about Cowboys Niners. It'll get its shakes. It's the Sunday night game. We'll start our show with it on Sunday night, of course. But because this is a battle between two teams that have very passionate fan bases, that have been down for a bit, that are trying to break through. Again, they've got the young rookie quarterbacks who we love, but also they put people around them and good leadership. It's two teams that are trying to get where the Chiefs are. They're trying to get where the Niners are. Not currently, but where they've been in the last 5 years. And they're new. They're fresh blood, and fan bases are excited. I said this earlier. The Commanders have got that whole D.C. metro, other than the Ravens fans, but they're a little farther up the road. They've got a lot of Commanders fans just over the moon excited because it's been so long. They've been so starved for a winner, and everything they've been through, from the change in ownership and the mess. It was a disaster with the Snyder family. Even after the NFL tried to clean it up, they couldn't. They couldn't even keep it under wraps then. So the Snyder family, the name changes, the revolving door quarterbacks, and having talked to Ron Rivera last night, he actually said it was a very difficult last couple years. What he dealt with there, what they dealt with there as a coaching staff, a very difficult last few years. That's why he's okay with a break this season, because it weighed on him. And I know he was also going through his battle with cancer. Thankfully, cancer-free. It looks great. But it was a mess. And this fan base deserves something different. Bears, same thing. So good for them. That's the game I voted for. But we've also got the World Series, games 1 and 2, in between now and then. Are you ready for this, Producer Pete? This is fair food. It'd be the first place that I would go. Dodger Stadium is breaking out some new menu items. I listed a couple of them. One that I would guess is sushi, but I don't actually know. Are you ready? This is where you and I would be standing. Deep fried peanut butter and Nutella sandwich. Okay. A deep fried peanut butter and Nutella sandwich, and it appears as though it's got powdered sugar on top.
I'll take two.
What, exactly. Seriously, I'd use my entire Weight Watchers points for the week just so I could have that sandwich.
Yeah, I'll starve for the week for that.
Deep fried peanut butter and Nutella. Let's go. On that note, make it an awesome weekend, a fantastic Friday. We'll talk to you Sunday night. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.